Good morning. It is good to be home. See everybody and to be back here with you. I'm thankful that we are no longer traveling, having to worry about two kids in the car for anywhere from 12 to 14 hours. It's good to be home. When you think about heaven, oftentimes as that subject enters our mind, and even as you're talking to some folks, you ask the question, are you going to heaven? And oftentimes the response is, well, I hope so. And we know from reading the New Testament, in particular, we know from reading the book of 1 John, that John tells us that we can answer affirmatively and confidently that yes, I am going to heaven so long as I obey the gospel, so long as I walk in the light as He is in the light. And we know that what Jesus says concerning the roads to heaven and hell, straight is the way, narrow is the way that leads to life, but wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And so oftentimes when we think of heaven, we think that heaven is a place that is going to be hard to get to. Friends, I want to study with you this morning and explain that that's just not the case. As a matter of fact, I would submit to you that heaven is quite hard to miss. Look with me at John 14, verses 4 through 6 here. John 14, 4 through 6, and we read, "And whither I go, Jesus says to His disciples, ye know. And the way ye know, Thomas saith unto Him," verse 5, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus says unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You think about Acts chapter 8. In Acts 8 and verse 36, there we have Philip preaching unto the Ethiopian eunuch. And as they went on their way, verse 36, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What happens after his baptism? Verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. But what did the eunuch do? And he went on his way rejoicing." Why is that? What did he have to rejoice about? All that had happened is that he'd been dipped in some water, right? No. You see, Philip had preached unto him the gospel, beginning in Isaiah 53. And he preached unto him Jesus. Remember what we just read there in the book of John. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Philip preached unto him Jesus. "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He's baptized and they come up out of the water. What does he do? He rejoices. Why? Because his soul has been saved. Has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Obedience, friends, is the key. He rejoiced because, number one, his sins were forgiven. He rejoiced, number two, because he is now a Christian. He rejoiced, number three, because he was added to the church by the Lord, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. He rejoiced because now he is living the hope of eternal life. And he has that living hope. He was on his way to heaven, in other words. And so he had every cause in the world to rejoice. He had liberty and freedom in Christ Jesus. Think about this. We've talked about the Ethiopian before. What did he do? Where was he coming from? Where was he going? Of course, he's on his way back to Ethiopia, back to Queen Candace. But where was he coming from? Coming from Jerusalem. He had gone there to worship at the temple. But friends, being a eunuch, he could not enter. So here we have a devout man. One that wants to do what's right. But he had no cause to rejoice in Jerusalem. He had no cause to rejoice until he came up out of that water. And Christ had given him liberty and freedom through the washing of the blood. He had now an example to follow.
The Ethiopian did.
That ensures an abundant life. Friends, quite simply, it's
hard to miss heaven being a Christian. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, God loves you and wants you to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we understand that God loves you and does not want you to be lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And Peter tells us, friends, that God works with us to get us to heaven. It's hard to miss heaven as a Christian. Why is that? John 1 and verse 12 tells us it's hard to miss heaven as a Christian because we become sons of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, we learn that we are God's children. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. We see here that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, what does Jesus say about the Father in heaven? How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Friends, God has planned for us to be in heaven with Him from the beginning. In John chapter 10, beginning in verse 27, we see that the Christian has security. The follower of God has security. Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." What is Jesus telling us here? What is Jesus telling those that would follow Him, those that would be followers of God? I want to emphasize here that no man is able to pluck us out of the hand of God. Friends, the only way that you can be separated from God is for you to do the separating. Isn't it in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2? Where Isaiah tells us that it is not God is not deaf, that he would not hear, his hand is not shortened, that He would not help. But your sins have separated between you and your God, Isaiah said. So what does that tell us? The only way, friends, that we can miss heaven is if we choose to do so. That's the only way that we're going to miss heaven. He gives us that security. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, we have an example here where Peter writes, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps." Still talking of Jesus, Peter says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." Friends, how often as we walk this Christian life, how often do we try to look at others and say, "Well, you know, I'm not as bad as this guy. Or I'm doing better than her over there." Friends, we're guilty sometimes of measuring ourselves by ourselves, aren't we? When who is the example that we ought to be looking to? Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Friends, we have a perfect example to whom we can turn, to look unto, to model our lives after. Let's stop looking at one another as far as how we ought to live the Christian life and start turning to God and His Word. And we can lean upon one another, we can draw strength from one another, but friends, it's God that provides the example. I also want you to look again in John 14. Look at verses 2 and 3 now. Now verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." Verse 2, "In My Father's house are many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then we read verses 3-5, or rather 4-6. And we saw there that Jesus speaking unto his disciples, and Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. Jesus' response was, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. So what is Jesus telling us here in verses 2 and 3? Friends, he's given us here a description in terms that we can understand of heaven. Jesus, after all, was a carpenter, wasn't he? He's going to prepare, he's going to build for his family, for his fellow heirs, that we can go and be with him. How wonderful, friends, is that? Can you think about this? Jesus has promised us this. He's given us that promise. Is God faithful concerning his promises? Absolutely he is. We read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, John records for us, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Friends, we read of the rich man and Lazarus. And it says there of Lazarus that he died and the angels carried him unto Abraham's bosom. You see, he died in the Lord, so to speak. He died having lived according to the law. The rich man, on the other hand, all it says of him is that he was buried. And then the next thing we read is of the rich man that he opened his eyes being in torments. Friends, if we die in the Lord, or if we are living in the Lord, when he returns again, the angels will take it from there. The hard part, as a Christian, it's going to be hard to miss heaven. The hard part, though, is finding the way, as far as accepting the way. I don't know about you, but I loathe driving in large cities. I loathe it. Cannot stand it. I found very quickly after Ash and I moved here, I had to find an alternate route to get around Dallas because I was not, I did it, I drove through Dallas one time and I wasn't doing it again. So we found a route that went south of Dallas. Didn't have to worry about going through the city. The thing is with me is that things get confusing when you get in there and you have two or three different exits you can take to go reach one place. I just need to know one way. And you look at a major city, and oftentimes you've got construction over here, so I've got to take a detour and go around this way, and then you have another detour, and before you know it, you're lost, as lost as you can be. Friends, what do we do about that? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, a verse we noted a few moments ago, Jesus said concerning finding the way, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be, notice this, that find it. Now friends, let me point out that the way is clearly marked. The way to heaven is clearly marked. Jesus has made it easy enough to get there. But friends, we have to take the blinders off. We have to look for it. We can't just coast along. Again, remember the words of Jesus. He says, I am the way. Friends, God has left us without excuse. Romans 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, we talk to some people sometimes, and the argument is made, well, you know, there are just some people that are unreachable. That they will never hear the gospel preached. That they will never understand who God or Christ is. What's God going to do with them? Friends, if they never hear the gospel,
and they never obey the gospel, but are lost. Plain and simple. And so that gives us a greater responsibility, of course, to take the gospel into all the world. But friends, here's what I'm getting at. Is that it's also left up to them to seek the God of heaven. Think about this. You don't have a Bible. You don't know who God is or anything about Him, but can you go outside and look at the creation around you? Can you understand that there is a God in heaven? You know that there is something and someone out there greater than you are. So what do? You seek Him out. You look for ways. That's what Paul's getting at in Romans 1 and verse 20. They are without excuse. We must seek God. Friends, the Scriptures, as we have the Bible, testify of Him and testify of the God of heaven. John 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and the Scriptures are they, which testify of Me. Speaking to the Jews, He says, search them. How many times when they came unto Jesus and asked Him a question, trying to trap Him, how many times did Jesus respond, have you not read? Do you not know the law? Have you not read the Scripture? You drop down to verse 46, He says to them, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me. Quite simply, friends, as Jesus preached, He tells us concerning the light, ye, He says, are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Verse 16 says, let your light then so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Friends, God helps us on the way to heaven through the church, because it's in the church that He has placed salvation. Mark 16, 15 and 16, and giving the great commission, He says unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. Friends, it is for the Christian, it's hard to miss heaven. The way is so clearly marked. We understand that we must be obedient unto God's word. But then we read in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Paul says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I don't know about you, but from reading what the Proverbs writer wrote, from reading what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, from reading what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. From reading all these passages concerning those that will not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that will not obey our God, I don't want to find out how hard that way is. We drop down to verse 23 in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Never knew who? Those that would not do the will of the Father. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. I like Peter's description. Look at Peter's description in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. Look at Peter 2 and verse 20. Peter says, for after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, they have obeyed the gospel. They have become Christians. But he says they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You go and read verses 21 and 22. And what does Peter say concerning the sow wallowing again in the mire and then the dog returning again into his own vomit? Friends, those are not pleasant pictures. And I find it interesting that Peter, a Jew, uses the analogy of a sow, a pig. You know, one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that pigs were considered unclean. Now, they're actually, as we have found out, very clean animals. But friends, when we look at them and we watch them, my granddaddy, I can remember growing up helping him on his little farm. We had cows, we had chickens, we had pigs. We didn't have pigs as long as we had the cows and the chickens, but I remember going and helping him, and we might not have had rain for 3 weeks, but there was always mud where the pigs were. You do the math. And the sow that has been washed went and turned again and wallowed in the mire. Not just in mud, but friends, in their own excrement. Not a pleasant picture. Now, somebody throws up in front of me, I'm liable to throw up myself. But then to think about a dog turning and eating that again. And that's, friends, that's how Peter describes a Christian returning to sin. Leaving Christ behind and turning again unto the world. Friends, those that do not obey, those that turn back unto the world, what do they give up? It's hard to miss heaven as a Christian, friends, unless we choose to do so. Think about this. If we turn away from Christ, if we refuse to obey the gospel, or if we have obeyed it, but then we turn away from Him again, we will be without God, we will be without God for eternity. We will be without good eternally, without rest eternally, without pleasure, without beauty, without help, without hope eternally. Can you imagine, friends, a life without God? A life without good, a life without rest, without pleasure, beauty, help, or hope? I can't. I don't want to. I need God. But not just that. Being without all of those things, but then also being cast into a devil's hell, as we read of the rich man being in torments there in Tartarus before judgment. So he's even in torments before he's cast into the devil's hell. But notice what he does have. He has full consciousness. He has full torment, full memory, full senses, and full desire. None of them, as far as the desire or desires are met. You know, oftentimes we have pain in this life, but a few days down the road it subsides. Friends, it's hard for us to think about eternity and to fully grasp it, but friends, you think about here. If we miss heaven, if we choose not to obey and in so doing choose to miss heaven, friends, the outcome is not good. So why don't we make it easy on ourselves? Again, friends, God has made it easy to overcome the sin problem. Jesus offers the invitation in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," he said, "and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, which road are you on this morning as we put away our Bibles and we take out our songbooks? Are you on the straight and narrow that leads unto eternal life, or are you on the broad way that leads into destruction? Where do you find yourself as the Lord offers the invitation? Would you come unto Him? Would you obey the gospel this morning by putting Christ on in baptism, arising again to walk in newness of life? Would you make it easy on yourself to find heaven by living the Christian life? Friend, it may be that you're here this morning having obeyed the gospel. You were once on the straight and narrow, but you took a detour and got lost. Come home. God has clearly marked the way. But it's up to you to make the choice to get back on it. Friend, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, needing to obey the gospel of Christ, needing to repent of sin, or friends, if you just need the presence of the church, the invitation is yours. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?